coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
And that was Golden Glenn, the official announcer of The Home Defense Show, and I'm your host, Skip Coriel, author of 22 books, Marine Corps veteran, founder of the Second Amendment March, proud father of seven, grandfather to 19 and counting, and as a special bonus, I'm also madly in love with my own wife. My priorities in life are God, family, and country in that order, and I hereby promise to never compromise in my convictions. I may go broke, but I'll never go woke. Folks, we got a great show for you today. First, we'll speak with Reggie Macon, owner of Battleground JKD. Then we'll be speaking with Fred Masterson from the great state of Arizona and our shootingclasses.com self-defense report, where we get some expert advice on the details of self-defense. But before we get too far into the show, let's thank our sponsors, United States Concealed Carry Association, shootingclasses.com, and CenterShot Indoor Gun Range. Oh, all right. I've had a good week. Man, the sun is out there shining like crazy. I've been building a greenhouse. And I got to tell you, it's only 8 foot by 8 foot, but you'd think it was a skyscraper the way I'm approaching this thing, because I am not good with my hands, folks. I'm really not. I can sit down, I can write a novel in 30 days, but building a little shed 8 foot by 8 foot just intimidates the heck out of me, because I'm just not good at it. That's not one of the skills that I fostered my entire life, but I'm having a good time with it and looking forward to growing things in it. Today on the show, I invited Reggie Macon. He's the owner of Battleground JKD, and we had him on a few weeks ago, and I was really impressed with this guy simply because he's got a lot of character. He really, really is. He cares about his community a lot, and he's a black fella, okay? And the black and white cultures, right now, they just seem to be clashing like crazy, and that really bothers me. I mean, we fought a civil war over slavery. You know, it's over, it's done with. Hundreds of thousands of people died on both sides to get rid of the slavery and the controversy. But, man, some sins you just keep paying for over and over and over again. And I guess slavery is one of those things. But, you know, I think it's time that we get past that. Both sides, black people, white people, just get over it, okay? Yeah, what would I say to a black person who's very angry because their ancestors were slaves? I would say, listen, my ancestors didn't own slaves. My ancestors fought, and some of them died, to free your ancestors. So you don't have to say thank you, but, you know, don't call me rotten, dirty names. You know, I would say something similar to white people who are racist against black people, or who hold a grudge, or who just won't let it go. Let it go, folks. Let it go. We have different cultures, different traditions, and things like that, but we all want the same thing. Good people all want the same thing. It doesn't matter what color they are. It really, really doesn't. You can be black, you can be white, brown, you can be green, olive drab. It doesn't matter. What do good people want? They want to marry someone that they fall in love with. They want that house with the white picket fence. They want a good job. They want to raise kids, you know, would love and nurture them and protect and defend them. And then they want their kids to have a better life than they had. That's what I want for my kids. And that's what Reggie wants for his kids. He's black, I'm white. It doesn't matter what color you are. But we're being divided by politicians. Politicians on the left, politicians on the right. And the media is in between, egging everybody on, because they want the conflict to continue because it's good for their business. I say screw the media, screw the politicians, and let's just cut out the middleman, and we've got to get over it. We just have to get over it because it's dangerous for us not to. We can't be divided anymore. We've got to come together, and I understand that there are complexities, and it's been going on for so long that it's systemic and all of that stuff. To me, that just means we've got to try harder. We have to reach out. You know, if you're white, get to know some black people. Just get to know them. And what you're going to find out is that they're a lot like you. And, you know, probably most of my listeners are white. So I'll speak to the white folk today, all right? Don't be afraid of black people. You don't have to do that. They don't want to kill you. They don't want to rob you. They don't want to mug you. And I know there are FBI crime stats, right? If you just look at statistics, you'll get a skewed version of reality. Because you can take the FBI crime stat that says roughly 80% of all murderers are black. Well, that's a true statement. But what does it mean? What does it really mean? Does it mean that black people as a race are homicidal maniacs? No, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that most homicides take place in the big city, in the inner city. Why? Well, that's where all the drug dealers are. We're talking about the black people that commit murder. They're not everyday folk. They're drug dealers. They're gang members. They're just the baddest part of that segment. And here's something that you may not have considered. Most of those 80% of the homicides, they're not white people being killed by black people. It's black on black crime. You have to factor that in too. Hey, you've got white murderers, you got black murderers, you got Hispanic murderers. The race really doesn't matter, folks. It really, really doesn't matter. We were all made the same. We were all created in God's image. And skin color is such a little thing. But it's like we go tribal. Especially when we get scared, we go tribal. And it's like, oh, we've got to coalesce around something that we have in common. You know, maybe it's the English language. Maybe it's the color of our skin. Maybe it's our intellect. But that's not the way God intended it. God intended for all of us to work things out, to live together as best we can. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're supposed to be doing. It doesn't matter if they're black or white. You love your neighbor. Treat them the way you want to be treated. Treat them with dignity and respect. And stop being afraid of someone just because of their skin color. I don't know if black people are leery of white people just because they're white. I don't know that because I'm white and I don't have a window into that world. And that's one of the things I wanted to explore with Reggie, because, you know, he's spent time, a lot of time in Chicago and then moved to Grand Rapids. And to me, Grand Rapids is a big city. But to Reggie, it's probably not like the big city. That's primarily what I wanted to talk about today. Okay, relax. Take a chill pill. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what color anybody is. It's just skin. All right, well, folks, you write me and tell me what you think. You can email me at skip@homedefenseshow.com. If you want to learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones, then you need to check out our sponsors, United States Concealed Carry Association. Just go to uscca.com and see how they can help you protect and defend the ones you love. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Coming up next, we'll be speaking with Reggie Macon, owner of Battleground JKD. Then we'll be speaking with Fred Masterson from the great state of Arizona in our shootingclasses.com self-defense report. In the meantime, God bless and stay safe. We will be right back.
Some say his face is painfully ugly, and I agree. But who cares? This is radio. Welcome back to the Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
And now we have a special guest on the show, a return guest, Reggie Macon, owner of Battleground JKD. Reggie, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Thank you for having me again. I appreciate it.
Well, hey, you were so awesome last time. I had to have you on again, Reggie.
Hey, I appreciate that. That sounds good to me.
Okay. Reggie, last time we had a really good talk. We brought up some issues, mostly off air, black versus white relations, you know, how things are going, tension that's there. And I wanted to talk to you about it. You know, we're both firearms instructors, but you're a black guy and I'm a white guy. You know, and we're also different generation. What, you're like 39?
37.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take 2 years from you.
Oh, no, it's okay.
So, you know, 37 and 66. One of the questions that has always vexed me is the black community. They seem to be, from a white guy on the outside looking into the community, they seem to be fairly anti-gun. Is that perception right or wrong, Reggie?
Well, the perception isn't right or wrong. It's just the fact that in our community growing up, it's always based on what we were told as an older person and not really educating ourselves when it comes to that. I guess the old saying, you don't know what you don't know and you don't know that you don't know it, comes into play due to the fact that we only know what we're taught. It's rare that you will find somebody, especially when it comes about guns, it's either good guys or bad guys in our community. And it's either cops or you got the so-called robbers or bad guys, or you'll see your Uncle Jojo with his revolver and you better not tell your mom you seen my gun. So it's like, it's looked at as a bad thing due to the fact that it's, when you hear firearms in the black community, it's a negative perspective to it. There are not a lot of people that research or even understand that it's our Second Amendment right to carry or even own a firearm. And like I said, it's just upbringing. So it's usually the uncle or granddad that just had a gun that's not even registered, but he used it to protect the house. So, and that's the only way you would see a firearm. So stuff like that, it's just old fashioned, just understanding what our peers or our elders taught us coming up and not really educating ourselves when it comes to that.
Well, you know, and I think it's, at least for me, it's kind of a similar way. I grew up out in the country. And very rural, and it's like guns were like a way of life, right? I mean, everybody had a gun. I mean, you just had a gun. It was accepted that you had a gun. I remember one time my sister, she was like 16. She was getting ready to have her first date, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy walked up to the front door and knocked. At the same time, my dad was coming in the back door from rabbit hunting. And so he heard a knock on the door and he walked up, he opened the door and he's standing there with a double barreled shotgun. And this guy, you know, he about, lost his,
lost a little, made a little bowel movement in itself.
Yeah. And my dad just looked at him and said, you're going to have her home by 10, aren't you? And the guy says, yes, sir. Absolutely. 10 o'clock. So for me, you know, it was different. And I guess I've always viewed it as like an urban versus a rural attitude. Is it true, you know, what's your opinion, that most black people live in the big city?
Predominantly, yeah. A lot of them do. I mean, well, my grandfather, he was one of those landowners and had, you know, pigs and stuff. So when you say living out on the farm and stuff like that, we definitely were in the woods and he had some land outside of Chicago, I should say. And we go there, that's when we would ride our go-karts. And, you know, that's when I got introduced into the hunting aspect of things and survivalists and all that. So that piqued my interest because it's like, we can't always depend on going to the store. You have to be able to survive on your own. And how would you do that? So that's always been something on my mind. So that's what really got me into it because I had a different perspective or a different look when it came to firearms or even just survival and living, well, not living, but being a part of my grandfather's land and stuff like that. So that always kept me interested when it came to stuff like that. So most of the time I would say, yes, a lot of them do live in the bigger cities. You know, the bigger cities are super fast and It's never a dull moment, so it's always on the go.
This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show, and we're speaking with Reggie Macon, owner of Battleground JKD. I had a black guy in my class, and I asked him, I said, why don't more black people move out of the city and into the country? Because, you know, I just think it's just a great place to live. I love it out there. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he says, what? And be bored to death?
Yeah, because just speaking on that, like coming from a busier city like Chicago, when I first moved to Grand Rapids, I thought Grand Rapids was like the suburbs. And like, this is slow because it's a faster paced lifestyle in Chicago, and then having to slow down and like, okay, I gotta adjust to this, not having the stores that's open 24 hours and stuff like that. So it's like, okay, this city's pretty much shut down at a certain time, so I have to get accustomed to that.
Yeah, well, the attitude of guns in the city versus guns out in the country, I guess I kind of understand the way city people view guns, because their experience with guns is probably different than mine.
Yep. The, like I said, the views on guns are usually have a bad narrative to it in a inner city, because most of them aren't registered or they're used in certain crimes and what we call, you know, the ghost guns and stuff like that. So it's like, it's always hidden. And then nowadays with the youth, they're influenced by the music and hearing rappers or artists in general talk about switches and all this other stuff. It's like, that's not the way to go. That's the illegal way. Like, you know, there are ways where you can own your firearm and not have to worry about looking over your shoulder and stuff like that. So it's definitely a different look when it comes to black and brown community compared to, you know, the white community.
Yeah, I guess so. Because I could walk out onto my deck out the back door right now and I could cut loose with an AR-15 with 30-round magazine, and people half a mile away might go, oh, that sounds like an AR-15, and then they go back to work. But that happens in the city. What's going to happen in the city if I do that?
You usually hear 1,001 police sirens, and people, you know, got phones out trying to see what's going on. I mean, I just want to say, like, there are two great guys when it comes to information, when it comes to the urban community, black and brown community with firearms. Reverend Willie Anderson with My Brother's Keeper Security Solutions, they do a phenomenal job on educating our community when it comes to firearm safety. And he is a USCCA certified instructor as well. And then you have Daryl Rustic of Rustic Arms. Those two guys, they both, like I said, they both are educated and certified with the USCCA, and they always continue their education, reading, and, you know, always looking forward to stuff. So those two guys, I take my hat off to, because they are in it every day, all day, and pounding away at getting that information out to the people of understanding our Second Amendment right and just understanding the safety of it. It's not just something that kills people. It's a tool to preserve life, not take life. And I take my hat off to those guys. I, you know, I have conversations with them all the time, and just seeing where they are, it's like, that's where I want to be when it comes to the safety of things.
This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show, and we're out of time for this segment. But stay tuned, because we've got more great stuff coming up. We'll continue our conversation with Reggie Macon, owner of Battleground JKD. During the break, I want you to drop down into the front-leaning rest position and start pushing the ground away from you. For you civilians, that's a push-up. Do 50 with each hand and then grab some ice-cold water. We will be right back.
Avoid danger, save lives, and keep your loved ones safe. If this sounds good to you, you sound good to me, and I'd like to help you do those things. Avoid danger, save lives, and keep your loved ones safe. If you're looking for more excitement in your life, we have nothing to offer you. But if you are a thoughtful, responsible, nonviolent man or woman, we'd love to teach you what to do if something crazy happens. More importantly, we'd like to teach you what not to do. We currently have over 500,000 members. They are doctors and single moms and firemen and grandmothers and veterans and Democrats and Republicans and members of every faith. But the one thing they all have in common is that they know exactly what to do if something crazy happens. When you're with one of our members, you are safe. Our members know how to de-escalate situations. They know how to calm things down. We are the United States Concealed Carry Association. See what we're all about at usconcealedcarry.com.
Discover the little-known backstory of the U.S. Concealed Carry Association at usconcealedcarry.com.
The mere sound of his voice makes women swoon and men storm the gates of hell. Welcome back to the Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel, and now let's continue our conversation with Reggie Macon from Battleground JKD. All right, Reggie, we were talking about guns and the, urban versus rural, the black community, how they view guns, things like that. And I think we're making some headway on that mm-hmm. as far as I see more and more black people in my classes, even though my classes are out in the country. So mm-hmm. that's encouraging to me.
So, well, nowadays they're doing a lot more research, educating themselves when it comes to firearms or just seeing somebody that they may know. It's like, well, what you carrying your gun? Like, why you got a gun on? And, just having that curious question and, getting educated on that, it pushes them forward to, join the firearm community. And it's like, well, I thought you had to do this. Well, I got a felony. It's like, well, how old is that felony? What is that felony for? Like there's ways that you can, even with a felony, if it's older and it's not so much a violent felony, you can get it expunged and then you can be a firearm owner. You don't necessarily have to own a ghost gun or own anything that's not registered in your name. And it's like those things aren't taught or aren't understood in our communities. And that's one of the reasons why I want to be one of the guys that lead that way and let people know like there are ways that you can actually own your firearm and feel safe owning it and not so much of sneaking around and everything else. So that's been something even within our classes, like we would do our shooting portion at the Caledonia Sportsman Club. And it's like, we got to go way out there. It's like, yes, because it's an outside range. A lot of times you're not going to be inside shooting, and which there's nothing wrong with that. But I want you to be out in the elements. So sometimes it might be raining. It might be cold. You don't need perfect conditions to, use your weapon, as you know. So just putting them in the elements has always been something. So just finding out that people are more interested in it now than they used to be is very encouraging, not only range officer, but somebody that's in the forefront of, pushing the information out there for our people to understand that this is something that it's a natural born right. It just, you have to do your due diligence of taking a proper pathway to get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Reggie, that's not really a black white thing because, the kids growing up, the white people growing up in public school, it's like they're not taught
right.
their rights are anymore.
Don't get me on my soapbox when it comes to school systems, but it's just a lot of things that aren't taught that should be there. Like I said, nowadays, a lot of things are influenced by music and just what they're seeing on TV. Yeah. So being able to have somebody that's there and reachable that you can relate to is also a big thing nowadays.
Things have changed so much in the last 20 years. And okay, what generation? Are you like millennial? Is that what you are?
I would say, yeah, millennial. Yep. Millennial okay. or Gen Z, I can't remember which one exactly I fall under.
It's like everybody has to have a label, right? I'm right, a baby right. boomer.
Right.
What is the attitude with younger people these days as far as their future? Do they see it bright and sunny or not so optimistic? What's the deal?
So my youngest student I have in my class is actually 4 years old. Yes, I teach self-defense, but I incorporate financial literacy and entrepreneurship in my classes. So when we get together, I will give them a word on a flashcard that pertaining to those two categories. And then Thursday, when we get back together, they have a definition, a sentence, and how can they apply that word in their everyday life. When we were coming up, it was always, what you want to be when you get older? The day and age of the internet and having the access to the world in the palm of your hand with a cell phone, I encourage them to start early and finish early because the traditional way you go to work, you work 35 to 40 years and then you retire. And then that's when you're able to really live your true life. When if you start early, you can finish early and really have more years to live the life that you want. So just pushing the entrepreneurship and just understanding financial literacy, if you can grasp that at an early age, you can save up a lot quicker. You can have that retirement money without worrying about a 9 to 5 and a pension and stuff like that, just understanding what's out there that you can accomplish. So a lot of my kids, they tell me now, I have a bank account now, or, I have my first $1,000. So they're saving up for that time. I mean, right now they don't have any bills and they just got allowance. And, if they pick up any summer jobs here and they were doing something for the family members, but just giving them those tools early it helps them out a lot. You get some kids that, you know, start the class and they looking like, oh, well, I don't have a bank account. Like, well, you know, look at to get one. You only need $5 to, you know, get it started. So encouraging them to plan for the future, not so much instant gratification, but delayed gratification. And it's been helping out a lot. Actually, one of my students, he is 16. He just came to me and told me that he got up to his first $5,000. So I was like, wow. Hey, that's what I want to hear. So I can't even say that, Reggie.
This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. We're speaking with Reggie Macon from Battleground JKD. Reggie, that is just awesome. You're doing some really, really good things with your community. So that's fantastic. Basically, what you're doing is you're teaching your students that they have access to the American dream and they can accomplish whatever they want to accomplish in life. And not all kids grow up knowing that.
I didn't. I wish I, like, you know, the old thing, the things that I know now, I wish I knew back then. That applies to me through and through. So it's like, yeah, just teaching and, you know, just giving them that knowledge now. So it's like they won't have that excuse like, oh, I didn't know that when I was younger. So I take that off the table. So now they can plan ahead and stuff like that. But not only that, I do mention and bring up firearm safety. And, you know, I have some training pistols here that, you know, just to let them hold it. So the first time they see a firearm, it won't be, oh, what's this? And you take the curiosity off the table. So seeing a firearm coming up, you'll go, oh, man, you know, it's a gun. Let's go play with it. Now it's like, okay, I know the rules when it comes to, you know, keeping a finger off the trigger, knowing my backstop and all that. Like my son is 5 years old and he can recite those to you like he's reading it off of paper because I'll just quiz him. He can be sitting there with a tablet in his face. I'm like, hey, what's the four laws of the gun? Oh, no, the backstop, keep the finger off the trigger. And I'm like, okay, good. So treat all guns as if they're loaded. So, but just quizzing them on that and, you know, giving them the information early, like I said before, it takes the curiosity off the table when it comes to firearms, and then they know how to react when they see one. So, you know, getting an adult, hey, this was here, not touching it, but, you know, this was over here. I think you need to go get it. And knowing my 14-year-old daughter, she can break a firearm down and, you know, of course, drop the mag, take out if it's got one in the chamber and all that. So just getting them to understand, like, hey, this is a tool. Just like you have bleach and forks and stuff in the kitchen, this is very dangerous. But yet, if you understand what it's for, you won't be curious to use it or, you know, cause self-inflicted wounds when it comes to the curiosity side. And I'm big on that and, you know, want all, you know, especially the kids that come to my class to understand that these are things that we can have access to, but yet responsibility is so serious when it comes to that because it can cause harm.
What I tell my students, I say, listen, you know, your firearm is supposed to be dangerous. If your firearm isn't dangerous, take it back to the factory because it's defective. You know,
right?
Well, you know, it's a tool with a certain job, but you know, a chainsaw is dangerous. It's great for cutting down trees. But you got to be careful. You'll cut your leg off. It's the same with any kind of a dangerous tool.
Exactly.
Reggie, we're about out of time here. Before we go, though, give us the website on how people can find out more about you.
BattlegroundJKDLLC.com and also BattlegroundJKDLLC on all social media. You know, we're just trying to do a lot of stuff with the community and educating our people when it comes to, you know, safety, firearms, and fitness, you know. Because if you have a firearm and you can't get to it, you have to use a hand to stay in the fight. But yet on top of that, you have to be in shape to stay in the fight to get to those. So that's stuff that we are teaching in the community.
Absolutely. All right, Reggie, I want to thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show today.
I want to thank you for having me, Skip, and I appreciate you for, you know, having me on your platform to get my story out and just have great conversation. You're a great host, and thank you so much.
All right. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Coming up next, we'll have our self-defense report with Fred Masterson from the great state of Arizona and our shootingclasses.com self-defense report. During the break, go ahead and check out our sponsors, United States Concealed Carry Association at uscca.com, Centershot Indoor Gun Range at centershotgunrange.com, and shootingclasses.com. After that, go ahead and take a break while you're on your back doing 50 sit-ups. And always remember, a healthy, fit person fights better and is harder to kill. God bless and stay safe. We will be right back.
Firearms training should be easy. Instructors can focus on teaching and not worry about all the complex paperwork and management behind the scenes. Just pull the trigger and let us do the administrative work. Welcome to shootingclasses.com.
At Center Shot Gun Range, we are passionate about training. Don't know where to start? We offer a one-hour new shooter seminar to introduce you to the world of firearms and help you find training opportunities specific to you. Concealed carry, home defense, firearm safety, AR-15, private one-on-one training, custom training, or maybe you're on a security team looking to protect your church or business. We even offer weekday morning and evening classes. Center Shot Gun Range has you covered. Start your journey at centershotgunrange.com.
Firearms training should be easy. Instructors can focus on teaching and not worry about all the complex paperwork and management behind the scenes. Just pull the trigger and let us do the administrative work. Welcome to shootingclasses.com.
He's no Einstein, but he can read and write and feed himself just like a big boy. Welcome back to the Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
And that was a beautiful and sultry voice of Golden Glenn, the official announcer of the Home Defense Show, and I'm your host, Skip Coriel. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, United States Concealed Carry Association, ShootingClasses.com, and Center Shot Indoor Gun Range for all your training and equipment needs. And now it's time for our weekly self-defense report sponsored by ShootingClasses.com. And today we're speaking with firearms instructor Fred Masterson from the great state of Arizona. Fred, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Thank you much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And you are coming back. You must have done something right the first time, Fred, because you are back again.
Well, once again, I feel like I won the lottery here.
Well, I like your attitude. Well, Fred, before I read the self-defense article, go ahead and just take about 20 seconds. Tell people where they can find out more about you and your training school.
Well, the easiest place is to find us online, forceoptionsusa.com. That has pretty much all the nuts and bolts about who we are. We're obviously on social media everywhere under Fred Masterson or Force Options, and you can find out everything about us there.
All right, Fred, I'm going to go ahead and read this article. It's from Blaze Media, and it's titled Texas Man Killed by Bystander and What Appeared to Be a Robbery. It turned out the robbery was a staged immigration fraud. An unnamed bystander in Texas did what Texans often do in January and used his firearm to stop what appeared to be a violent robbery in progress. Now, police are saying that the robbery was in fact staged for the benefit of a fraudulent visa application, but the robber is still dead, and the fake victims are apparently nowhere to be found. The incident occurred at a Houston gas station on January 27th of this year. The Houston Police Department initially believed that the gunman, who has not been identified, opened fire on Rashood Scott when he saw Scott apparently attempting to rob a couple. Scott later died of his wounds. Further investigation, however, indicated that Scott and a potential partner regularly ran a scam that was designed to help illegal immigrants commit immigration fraud. The scam is designed to help immigrants obtain a U visa, which is given to individuals who are victims of crime and are permitted to stay in the country as potential witnesses while their crimes are being investigated. Under the scam, someone stages a robbery somewhere that there are security cameras, such as at a gas station, and the quote-unquote victims then get to stay legally in the country, often for years, as the case goes unresolved. Now, this was rather unusual. What's your initial perception of this scenario, Fred?
Well, my initial perception is really interesting because one is we constantly are deluged by the YouTubers and the social media pranksters that are always kind of doing these odd pranks and trying to, you know, do these crazy things on with people and basically flirting with disaster. I mean, they're doing some things that are really questionable. And my first thought was that was kind of maybe what this was, but what it turns out obviously is that it was an organized crime to a degree. My heart, well, honestly, it sounds kind of an odd thing to say, but my heart goes out to the gentleman that actually ended up pressing the trigger, because he's going to live with that, you know, whether it was justified or not, and things like this. That's not what we're going to discuss. The fact that he had to take a life is really just horrible. You don't want anybody to have to deal with that.
Fred, I agree with you on that one. Even under the best of circumstances, when you take a human life, say it had been a real robbery and he saved someone's life, even taking a human life in that situation, it's still tough. I mean, sometimes you need therapy afterwards. You have, you know, PTSD.
I mean, you can count on that. I mean, the divorce rate amongst people that have been involved in lethal shootings, I mean, the statistics are horrifying. And I don't really want to go into them because they'll terrify people to defend themselves. You know, once again, I come to the idea that it's terrible that he was put in that situation. Fortunately, he wasn't injured or had any serious problems.
Yeah, this is Skip Coriel, and you're listening to the Self-Defense Report sponsored by ShootingClasses.com as we discuss self-defense with Fred Masterson from the great state of Arizona. Fred, I've heard about this type of a scenario before, you know, and sometimes people will even take the hypothetical scenario of, say, you're walking down the street and two men run out of a bank and they appear to be shooting into the bank as they flee. You pull out your gun, you shoot them. And then after the fact, you find out that it was a movie set and that they were just actors. Legally in Michigan, that is still a legal self-defense shooting. What's it like in Arizona?
It's the same here in Arizona. As long as you are in the state or in the act of defending the life of an innocent or yourself, it's going to be difficult for them to justify how, you should have known that it was a movie. Yeah. I mean, and once again, this is what we talked about with the social media stuff, with these guys doing these pranks on people, thinking it's funny, trying to get clicks. And I hate to say this, I don't want it to happen, but one of those guys is going to get shot. I mean, without a doubt. At best, they're going to get their mouth punched. But there's a high probability that when they do things like this, they're going to get themselves into some serious trouble.
I agree. I know the kind of videos that you're talking about on YouTube. Maybe someone dresses up like a clown and they walk around with blood dripping off their face and they run up and scare people, you know, and it's like, man, you do not want to do that to me. You just don't.
Yeah, exactly right.
Especially now in our society right now, people just seem to be nervous. They're uptight and you really shouldn't be running up scaring people. You think it's innocent, you know, hey, it's just a practical joke. But the premise of it is that you're doing this knowing that the other person doesn't know that it's a practical joke.
But I would like to get your opinion. You know, it's interesting is the location that these take place in are normally places like California, you know, or yes, or Oregon, but they're not us. You know, like here in Arizona, everybody's got a gun. Yep. Everybody. And when I first moved here, and I'm a gun guy, I was stunned at the number of people that open carry. This is before we had our concealed carry. Everybody in this state, grandma to everybody, had a gun. And I just think that, you know, the cliche that an armed society is a polite society, that's true. Nobody in their right mind would try that because I think they realize that there's a high probability that somebody's going to pull a gun on them and potentially put holes in them.
When you think about it in another light, let's say you hold back and think, you know, I really don't know what's going on. It looks like a robbery, but I really don't know what's going on. And then the innocent victim gets shot and you didn't do anything because you were holding back. I mean, you got to live with that too.
Yeah, and that's a slippery slope we live on, you know, because honestly, you don't know. One of the greatest scenarios I ever had laid out to me was, you know, you come around the corner and you see a man, a car in the middle of the road, car stopped, doors are open. This man is sitting on top of a woman, just beating the snot out of her. And you yank out your blaster and you put him at gunpoint and, you know, and put him to the side. And she runs off screaming and crying. And you think you saved the world when in fact what happened was he had fired 6 shots at her from inside the car. She was trying to hijack him in an Uber situation and he was in defense of his life.
Yeah.
And you just rolled up onto it and just saw that part of the scenario. Additionally, we have to understand that we live in a totally, and I don't mean to be harsh, but we live in a crappy society because the civil litigation system, I mean, tort reform is needs to be a real thing because you could be criminally perfectly just in what you do, but then Dirtbag's family decides that, yeah, he was trying to kill 12 people and you stopped him and he died. but that wasn't right. So we're going to sue you and you can lose. You literally could lose and lose everything, which I think is why a lot of people have hesitation. We look at what happened in New York when that gentleman, you know, put himself in danger to protect the people in the subway, and he's in prison now. And I'll say the dirtbag that did that, he passed away. But it wasn't because of the quote-unquote chokehold. It's because he was full of drugs. And yet the gentleman who put himself in jeopardy to save those people is now in jail.
Fred, that was a good analysis. I appreciate that. We're out of time. But before you go, will you please tell the listeners one more time where they can find out more about your school?
Absolutely. You can find us online at www.forceoptionsusa.com or check us out on social media, Force Options or Fred Mathis, and we have everything you need.
Fred, I want to thank you for being on the Home Defense Show today. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show, and that about wraps it up for this week's show. I've had a good time, and I hope you have too. Please don't forget to thank our sponsors, Centershot Indoor Gun Range at centershotgunrange.com, shootingclasses.com to help you find the right trainer for your needs, and the United States Concealed Carry Association. For all your self-defense needs, go to uscca.com. I've written 20-plus books, and they're all available on amazon.com in paperback, ebook, and audiobook. This week, check out one of my novels. It's titled The Mad American. Please join us again next week for all your home defense needs. In the meantime, God bless and stay safe.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!